Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's call in the Chung Mo Meridian. We're working with transforming anger into movement and momentum. As you settle in, I'm gonna actually invite myself to do the same. Getting comfy and cozy in a place where you can either lay or be undisturbed for our time together. I hope you guys all had beautiful Easters for those of you that celebrate. And as we settle on in here, I'm going to invite us to begin by means of breath. Taking time to breathe. And as you settle in with that breath, every inhale an opportunity to call in and receive. To drink in life, to live, to grow, to connect to inspiration. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking a moment to savor that, to receive its goodness. And I invite you to take a moment to scan either outwardly or inwardly, whichever you are most comfortable with, your environment. And as you scan, taking a moment to let your gaze look in all directions, all corners, all dimensions. And as you look around this space, internally or externally, letting your gaze land on anything again that's particularly pleasant to simply neutral. And as you land on this thing, I invite you to notice what it is you like the most about it in this moment. It may be the color, the size, the shape, the texture. The way that the light and the shadow dance with it. As you take time to savor these things that are pleasant to neutral, receiving them for the nourishment that they very well may be. Drinking that in just 1% more if it's available. Breath by breath, receiving goodness. As you receive this and savor this, the question becomes, is what do you notice in the body? How does your body respond? What are you present to now that you weren't a few minutes ago? And of everything that you're noticing, in all of that, whatever that's pleasant, all the way to neutral, taking time to drink this in as well, to savor it. And as you savor these things, they get to be resources whenever you need them, whenever we're working in the session together, at the end of the session, or even afterwards, in the coming days, weeks ahead. And as you cultivate mindfully this nourishment, it's a reminder to your body mind that maybe it doesn't have to work so hard. Maybe it can receive and take in this sweetness, this ease, because it's safe enough to do so, it's safe enough to be here, and it's safe enough to be present to this life, to love, to all that you take in as something that you enjoy and find pleasant in this world. And thank you for being here to do that. Thank you for being here to experience this. And thank you to all of those that have come before that have made this possible to take in this sweetness. Your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and those that have caretaken and stewarded this land, my deepest thanks. As I offer my thanks, I'll give you a space to offer your own. Even if you're not quite finished with that, it can continue long afterwards into the session, your day, your night, your week ahead. Blessings on your journey today. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace. Peace. Okay, and as we work with today's session, we're actually starting off, interestingly enough, in the tailbone. We're looking at it on, as the, pardon me, from the perspective. The tailbone is like the rudder that steers the ship as it's steering it this way, straight ahead. And you may even be aware of any particular direction the tailbone might even just be subtly angled towards. And if you notice that your tailbone is a little offline, or off center is what I mean by that, not necessarily offline, but off center line, notice which way it seems to be pulling. And notice what seems to be pulling it. And as we work with the subtle pulls of the tailbone, we're actually going to do a couple things. We're going to wind some connective tissue in that arena, the direction of the pull that you're noticing. I'm noticing one in particular to the right, to my masculine side. And as I notice that, I get curious about it and I ask some questions. So I'll invite you to do the same. Just sitting with it, getting to know it. No particular question is required to do this. And as you sit with it and see what comes for you, we're going to connect the ears and the sinuses to deeply listen to your tailbone, to what grounds and anchors you into the foundation and the direction, the course direction of life that you are navigating in towards. Perhaps we navigate through life from a place of, this might sound odd, the safety of fear. Perhaps you navigate life from the place that's beyond fear, which actually prevents us from noticing the fear and its safety so much, but there's a different sort of sense of security that comes here. Or maybe it's something else, noticing whatever may be present in that arena for you. As we work with this, unwinding that connective tissue on the right side of the tailbone, pardon me, the direction of your pull, mine is on the right side. We're gonna also look at unwinding the connective tissue pulls that are compensating that. There's two spots. One is either side of the heart, right where the atria meets the ventricle, left and right, as well as the region of where the collarbone meets the sternum. And in the back body, the C6 vertebrae and C7 vertebrae alike, which are the bottom two vertebrae in the neck right before they join on to the spine. And as we work with these, you can almost think of these as all being much like compensation patterns. I don't necessarily love that terminology, but you might be familiar with it from how we talk about the left shoulder compensates the right hip, or right shoulder, left hip. These areas that I've outlined help to figuratively dance around and to support. So as one changes its course, the others get to dynamically work together and respond. And as we work with that responsivity cycle, I'm going to call it. It's linking all through those particular regions of the body and taking them all into the sixth house. House of discernment, of intellect, as the small intestine works with it. Also known as the house of practicality, of being in service to the health of our body and mind. And here we're working with, what if it didn't have to be a constant fight for survival? What if all those early experiences from conception through the womb through to birth, where we inevitably were faced with the daunting task of survival time and time again, in one way, in one stage or another? What if now? What if now those echoes actually get to soften? As we know that we actually made it through, that we're here, we actually get to rest a little bit easier as we're on the other side of that birth canal. The sacrifice, the challenge, the struggle, the epic amounts of mountains and tigers and bears and all sorts of seemingly adventures and dangerous twists and turns and torques that were taken, they actually get to settle now. Just a reminder to your nervous system that you're on the other side of that all. And as we remind the nervous system of that, we're going to link this all into centering, as well as being contained by, pick your favorite wording, God, universe, the void, Buddha, Allah, whatever the word may be. What is it to be centered in and contained by that? And what if just for now, as you recognize whatever it is that's holding this all together, that might not be you? That you get to breathe a little bit different. You get to hold yourself a little differently, which might mean not having to hold yourself up so much at all, which might mean not having to work and effort in these ways. And as you take time to settle into this new way of being inside of yourself, on the other side of those struggles, as that gets to settle, linking this all to the ethers of the soul, to the elements of earth, and the elements of water. Water taking us to our very core center, and earth reminding us that we're part of matter, that we came all the way through from the formless to be here in this form of earthly matter, of earth itself, of carbon, of muscle, of bone, of blood. As we acknowledge all these elements of earth that we have the privilege of having inside of us, that we get to be a part of, that we get to dance with, that we were created into, created of, born into, and born of. We get to receive what the earth elements has only ever meant to bring us, which is that of nourishment, which is that of peacefulness, to be able to find stillness so that we may rest in peacefulness of this earth. Which means your bodies, your brains, your minds are ultimately meant to be a place of stillness, of repose, of regeneration, of restfulness. And as we work with this, we're linking in the entirety of you into the Schumann resonance, which is the vibration of the earth, which is quite slow. Which is quite slow, much slower than how our modern world operates, much slower than the hour of information you're exposed to prior to coming here. Never mind the 23 hours before that, the days, the weeks, the months, the years previously. You see, Earth carries a certain temporal rhythm. And as we potentially don't feel like we can connect to that, we find ways of coping. We stay busy. We get distracted. We numb ourselves out. Anything to do but feel the slowness and the rhythmic nature, the vibration, the pulsation of our own very vitality and health. As I say that, I'm aware of the birds chirping as spring is starting to come here to Saskatoon. You may already have been in it for a while. We're a little slow to get there this year. You might also be slow to get there this year. And if you have the sweet sounds of nature infiltrating into your eardrums, I invite you to take a moment to be with that too. The sweetness of life coming alive again. And the rich spring essence. And as it arose slowly, which may have been a point of frustration or a point of noticing something within you, if you worked with it mindfully in that way, wherever you were on that spectrum, maybe you were both. I certainly had the whole range. What is it to know that you get to take your time, much like Mother Nature taking her sweet time in arriving, in changing, in cycling, in being? This is the magic of the earth elements. And the Chung Mo, I like to put in this overall umbrella of stillness as well, as it's meant to carry in nurturing energy, nourishment. As we take time to slow down just a little bit more, we may be able to be aware to hear its chi, its vital essence. And as we slow down, there's this odd thing that begins to happen. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. As we slow down, there's more space. And somehow there's more time. And somehow more things just seem to happen effortlessly around us. And we think of all the ways that you've managed to get everything done. And I know all that it takes to make the impossible happen in a day, and to do that day after day after day for year after year after year. I think that may have been part of the programming I received as what it meant to be a woman. Perhaps you did too. Perhaps that was part of the programming I received and what it meant to be a human. Perhaps you received that one too. And even though you can go at that speed, what is it like to also remind yourself that you get to have the slower speed now? And all those ways of operating quickly, we can think of as just for now, hanging out in our liver meridian. And it's like the liver meridian has a grip. It's shielding the Chung Mo from being able to slowly spread its vitality upward, which is the other thing that I didn't actually get to speak to. I got taken in a new direction as I was speaking to it from a different angle. But another thing that I'm present to when I slow down is how quickly things just naturally rise on their own internally. In a way that means I don't have to figure out how to hold my spine up. I don't have to figure out anything, actually. I get to be present to what it means to be held up from the inside out. And as we slow down just a little bit more, we may notice that things actually get taken care of all on their own without us having to manage them so much. And that quickness, the need to manage life, again, if we can think of that as one thing stored in the liver meridian that's been wrapping itself around the Chung Mo, we're going to equally unfurl, unspiraling it through the entire Chung Mo meridian, similar to a connective tissue unwinding. And as it unwinds, we're actually going to bring in circulation of all the healing resources to both meridians, because they've created this internal struggle. And the end result is that of self-importance. Look what I did, look at all I got done today, how productive I was, how accomplished I've been. Which may be wonderful, and it may have also taken us away from the sheer magic that life is. When we slow down to again notice that, when we create time to receive its wonder. And as I slowly come back to circulation of all those healing resources through the two meridians, we're going to bring in blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, and lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Then we're going to work with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids, which help to lower that inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous or immune system, and for that matter, most of our body mind to heal. And we're going to also work with circulation, the balancing between yin and yang, feminine and masculine. And then bringing in hydration to bring in the water and the joy and release any impurities. And as we slow things down, there may be an opportunity to feel even more of what's happening, or to become aware even more of the feelings that are already here, or all of the above. And additionally, there may become an opportunity for you to slow down, to notice what's underneath it all. And as you notice what's happening for you, there may be a tendency to go, nope, I don't want to do that. I am done with going slow now. I want to speed up. I know how to move quickly. This slow stuff is unfamiliar. I don't like it. Nothing's happening. It's boring, etc. Wherever the mind goes with that. Know that when it's challenging for our nervous systems to slow down, it can be a sign, and I'm going to invite you to get curious, that something in our nervous system says bad things happen when I take time to slow down and feel what's here. Because of previous experiences that came before. And as we talk about these, there might become, the need apparent for additional work, and know that that's always available, however that it may look like, whether that's individual sessions, whether that's working, you may already be working with a therapist, etc. Whether that's re-listening to the session, whether that's taking time to walk in nature, giving yourself time to be with poetry, a bath, the river, the ocean that you're nearby, or anything like that. So, as we go into this territory of slowing down, if things seemingly get worse for you, it may be a signal from your nervous system that more availability, more spaciousness feels somehow again wrong or unsafe from previous experiences. And as we go to those previous experiences, we're actually going to go all the way back again to that moment of conception. And that moment, if we can press pause and slow it down, almost like if you've ever edited film or video on something like iMovie or the like. I'm not big into this world, so I know iMovie and that's it. And you can see all of the frames of the video because they slow it down for you enough to do that. Imagine where you can take the moment of conception, and even without it making any sense whatsoever, slow it down and break it down into a variety of still frames. So you can clearly see what's coming together, what's here. And you may even have visuals. There may be a felt sense. There may be something that you hear, that you're present to. And the thing that happens for every living being, perhaps even substance, minerals, rocks, earth itself, in that very moment of creation itself, there is a sense of separation that arises, a sense of separation that gives rise to the mother of all emotions, fear, which gives, as it's the mother of all emotions, a sense of actual safety in and of itself. There's this idea that fear holds us safe in its own way. Now, not typically showing up that way when we're personalizing our anxiety. That would be ridiculous to even try to, in that moment, imagine that fear is somehow keeping me safe. Yeah, yet fear is actually what contains the seeming emptiness or formlessness from which we came from. It's the very first thing that shows up. And that moment of division, where we have fear being the boundary of that container, so to speak. Who would have thought fear was a boundary. The thing that's also present in that same moment that actually has no boundaries and no containment and no center point is the frequency of love. And both show up, even though that's seemingly impossible, in the exact same moment. They're there. In a way that even though we break it down into the still frames, it's still virtually impossible to detect in that way, to put our finger on it. It comes through us more as a sense of knowingness or wisdom when we slow down enough to find it to be with that sweet moment. And the beauty is that sweet moments is still available with every new beginning, conception, and so on and so forth. We've often explored anger from the place of moving quickly, creating momentum. And what if anger could also give rise to the movements of moving towards stillness, of slowing down? And what if in this place of slowing down, we actually create a unique type of momentum that's not available from any other location? And the image that comes to mind that might be easiest to relate to this is that of Neo in The Matrix, which I think is one of my all-time favorite sets of movies. I have a few, but they're at the top of my list. When Neo slows down, and yet all the bullets that are being fired at him at whatever high velocity speed are able to easily be dealt with. And he can, like, it's almost like the entire world holds so still that he can walk through it as he's deeply held in that moment by something other than time itself. He's held by the boundless, the formless, by love. One might say. So, in that sweet moment where we see him pause in those scenes, there isn't a need for the fear of separation to create containment. There's simply the experience of getting to be. And if we take you back to your moment of conception, what if both, again, the fear and the love are equally here? And you got to be present to them both, and you got to slow down enough to be able to perceive it, to take it in for what it is. The love of the eternal, which has no form or container. However, one becomes created. A container becomes created, is what I mean by that wording. By the helpfulness of fear. Now, fear is often something that we feel inwardly. And the outward response and reaction to that fear is often that of anger. And I'm marrying a couple of, well, a lot of concepts here, to be honest with you, from a lot of different places. However, if fear is the inward and anger is the outward, it's like they're Bobbsey twins. And now we're talking about the relative world, where again there is that sense of form being contained by something that you may call fear, and particularly if it's more inward. However, if you notice that containment happening more outwardly, you may relate to it more as anger. And you may show up to it from the need to, like, fight, to push. To kick, to scream, to make things real. And what if that echo of conception continues into every single experience you have from life afterwards? So the only thing keeping anything real, including your biggest challenges that you're present to right now, including the smallest challenges that you're present to right now, is this dance of fear and anger keeping us, locked into this thing. And I'm also going to propose that that's actually a helpful process. It's a helpful process for us to become aware of what seems to be here for us to learn, to grow, to experience, to dance in this mystery of life, and to sing its song through us as we do so. And what if we could call all of that surrender? Surrender happens through yielding, through slowing down enough to realize what's happening. And maybe it has nothing to do about what that other person, family member, friend, stranger online said or did. Maybe it's just one more echo coming from this story that began a while ago, potentially, if we buy into time. Or perhaps it was just now, that moment of conception bringing you alive. And as we step into what it means in that moment of conception itself, whatever the environmental circumstances may have been around you, whether that was an act of love, whether that was an act of violence, whether that was an act of abuse, consent or not, it still gave rose to this particular capacity for you to be in a body, to be in a part of life, to feel. It's a good thing. The fear, the anger that makes us all somehow real. And as we work with that, linking in all five, six senses, along with general consciousness, big four consciousness, and body talk that we talk about from that perspective, for those of you who have done Module 3, Principles of Consciousness. As we link that moment of conception in through the senses and into big consciousness, big four consciousness itself, letting any of the layers that have been making things seem like they need to be managed more heavily than they really do disperse and lay down so that you can get in touch even more so with the healthiness of anger. Not personal, but simply the vibration of movement as an invitation to move towards stillness. Anger is an emotion of the wood element. It's an emotion that creates the beginnings of expansion. And it is really hard to sustainably expand unless we're equally anchoring ourselves into the foundation of slowness, which is linking us all the way back to where we began, the tailbone. And as we last were working with the tailbone, we ran circulation of all the healing resources through to it. This time, Rosh Hashanah's cellular repair on your tailbone's capacity to stably, sustainably steer the ship as we reorient it to its relationship of time itself. And as we slow down time for the tailbone, we slow down any of that fight flight response. We slow down any of the need to freeze, because we can go even slower than the freeze response itself. As we slip underneath it all into the Schumann resonance, and as we connect again this tailbone and you to the Schumann resonance of this vibration of the earth. It actually begins to travel through the different segments of the tailbone and through to the connection where the tailbone joins onto the sacrum. And it's moving oh so slowly, like primordial goo melting like hot butter, but somehow melting upwards as it carries the slow melting energy upwards. Melting invitation for the rest of the sacrum from the midline on out to melt, to yield, to surrender, to defrost. And as the sacrum slows down, we're reminding the sacrum and the tailbone alike that it's safe to exist and be here, to be held by the earth is a good thing. To move slowly at the Schumann resonance frequency is a good thing. And it gets to feel good here again. It gets to feel pleasure and joy all the way through this base chakra. All the way through to the genitals. As that luscious nectar continues to rise through now the sacrum into the lower spine. It may give a little nod of acknowledgement to the puddle of fear that hangs out between the low back and the top of the pelvis. This L5, S1 junction, that of the kidney meridian, containing all of our fear, all the puddle of fear. Gets to continue to be supported. Gets to continue to be acknowledged and walked through, danced through from the perspective of this sweet, luscious, melty nectar of slowness. And it might even slow down to the point where it actually loses any sense of being bound or contained in a good way. It may become aware that it is love itself at its very core, this essence of the Schumann resonance. We often hear the expression that love knows no bounds, which means the character of love actually has no boundaries. And if we think of love having no boundaries, it gets to effortlessly seep through anything because it can't be held in one spot. It can't be gripped or clung to in one place. It means it's always here. And as we bring in the subtlest of containment through the spine to have that continue to rise slowly, slowly, and slowing down just a little bit more if it's available, we get to lay down all that seemingly is ready to go, that created such pain and challenge in us arriving to be here in the very first place. As we make our way through the lumbar, low back region of the body mind, And we get to renegotiate our values, our abundance, and all that we consider to be valuable to us. And as this energy continues to rise, slowly melting somehow upwards, now through to the thoracic spine and the rib cage. You might even notice little tendrils reaching out through each rib, wrapping around the body. Into the sternum. And as this core essence of you is located here, in what's often thought to be a center of a core of protection. What is it to move? From having this be a cage to a sanctuary. Here, looking at all the echoes of the programming that have said, put yourself last, that have said, ignore what's here, that have said, it's selfish for you to fill in the blank. I'm going to invite you to put that selfishness and all those other concepts back in the hands and the mouths and the voices of wherever they came from. As you now get to claim this energy for you of everything that's in here. As you hand all those voices back to where they came from, they, whoever received them, gets to hand them back, and they get to keep going back and back and back. And if at any point it's needed, you can even imagine handing it back to that person's higher self. That higher self knows what to do with it, knows where to point it. And as that continues to do its dance, the invitation is to notice what your arms now want to move forward into. What do they want to reach into? As this energy that rises through the thoracic body also gets to extend through your shoulders, your arms, your wrists, your hands. In a way that you can consciously, tangibly sense, hold, touch into it. And here we're running lymphatic circulation through the arms, releasing any low bits of self-esteem, any overthinking, any overanalyzing that says you can't have that. Who are you to aim so high? Who are you to reach for that? Who do you think you are? And as that programming also begins to soften and melt, as the lymphatic system clears it away, creating again this new pattern of anger to move in a way that nurtures, that nourishes you, in a way that the Chung Mo would effortlessly have rise through your system. This energy continues to journey upward through to the cervical spine. And as this luscious nectar melting somehow upward continues to journey through the C spine, I hear the words through the cervical spine, I hear the words No Man's Lands. And we're releasing those experiences of being deserted, neglected, abandoned, and anything in the way of you matter. Your matter. Your body. Your earthiness. Your matter. And the root word of matter comes from matr, meaning mother. We get to experience what it might be like now to, much like the earth, we get to mother ourselves. Even in the seeming faces of neglect and abandonment and challenge, we get to mother us, mother ourselves. And as that energy continues to melt slowly, oh, so slowly, and somehow upwards, reaching through the bones of the skull, the sphenoid, the face, the jaw. And even any front parts of the neck, the hyoid, and the cartilage of the thyroid, as it melts through here. What if you got to release another layer of all that you've done to micromanage the pain of existence? And your favorite ways of doing that. And as you melt them, the invitation is to notice as they melt away, more so might be better wording. What's here now? What is this all transformed into? You may even take a step back and notice what image is here. If you can step back to take in the entirety of you, your skull, your spine, your tailbone. You could take in the slow energy of the Schumann resonance moving through it all. What's here? And then I invite you, if it hasn't already happened, to offer yourself your own imagination of seeing yourself from this place. Moving through life from a deeply centered and deeply contained place of love, of what you hold near and dear to your knowingness, to your wisdom. That might be bliss, delight, joy. It might be the most exquisite ecstasy. And as we continue to dream in this way, imagining yourself here as full, as whole, as complete. And honoring this practice of seeing you move through life from this place. And this is your imagination, so it gets to be your way. And anytime you run into a little hiccup or nook or cranny that doesn't seem to go the way that you'd like it to imagine, invitation to get curious about those spots as they simply hold trapped imagination. imagination that is yet to be freed, to come alive, to create a different sense. And as we offer ourselves this type of inner freedom, this practice that can continue to cultivate in our imagination over time, over love, you may continue to reap the understanding of the Schumann resonance of slowing down and all that it can bring to you. And as we slow down even more, if it's available, touching in on that resource that you found potentially at the very beginning and letting yourself deeply marinate in that. And noticing what it's like to be with this time. My question becomes, what was it like to move slowly, using anger from a very different perspective to create a different type of momentum? What did this experience offer you? As you hang out with that, the Chung Mo finally has a free pathway to actually deliver its nourishment upwards through the system. It's hard for it to lift things up and through when the system's moving quickly and is tight and is trying to digest oh so much. However, when we slow down and we can, in a way, digest our lives through the openness of a body that's slowing down to receive this as nourishment, not as one more thing it has to get done, not as one more thing on the to-do list that has to hurry up and be over with. The Chung Mo actually has space to do what it's meant to do, which is to steep you in the mothering energy of nourishment. As you slow down to receive it, breathing here, we're going to tap this part out. Breathing slowly. And as I tap that out, there's a little piece of control that melts off the jaw, melts off of where the sternum joins the collarbone, and melts off of the just to the left of the midline of the genitals, where the liver meridian hangs out. Some things can only be undone by slowing down. Then I see the liver meridian take a huge sigh. Okay, that's how I can navigate. That's how this can be. The liver does 500 metabolic reactions every single second. Sometimes she needs some space and some slowness to recoup while she's doing all those things. You're welcome to stay right here as you are. Breathing slowly. I've got a very short song. 2 minutes. My Mother Told Me. It's by Rachel Hardy. Invitation to breathe slowly and hang out with that resource. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Thank you for slowing down to be with yourselves in a new way, a different way than we often work. It was the medicine to help the previous two sessions, which have been a little bit different, spacious in their own ways, to help ground some of what may have come up for some of you over our past little while here. Not quite an integration session, but in a way, supporting that processing, along with offering material to help things not just integrate previously, but to support us as we move into even more deep nourishment and nurturing through the Chung Mong lens. So thank you so much for bringing all of you to the table. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace. And blessings to you throughout the rest of your day. And know that you've received another email around our next round. I can't believe it's already time to be thinking about Buddhas and Butterflies year five. So it's one question survey. Feel free to respond. I'll probably shut down the survey in a couple of weeks' time. But it would be helpful to get a sense of what it is you guys are keen to address. I believe right now trauma is in the lead, trauma release work, and then the other options being consciousness and the 12 houses. So feel free to vote for your favorite. I believe trauma's in the lead, consciousness is the second one right now, and I'm having fun staying in rapt attention to seeing what our responses might be for that all. So, mwah, my love to you all. Thank you so much for taking that time together. And I look forward to doing this again next week with you all. Bye for now, my loves. Yeah, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. I'm happy that it gave you a sense of grounding. Oh, I'm so glad the tailbone shift is helpful. Yay. Okay. Bye for now, loves.